This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 556 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with our health director, Kathleen Liberty. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the major topics of COVID-19 and the relaxation of protocols in entering into this new normal as we define it going forward. There are still airborne mosquitoes and ticks to be concerned with. There's still a salmonella outbreak amongst the chickens and fowls to be aware of. And we also talk about a new health department podcast coming to get into other discussions health related. Our conversation runs around 30 minutes. Let's listen to my conversation with Kathleen. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. WFPR.FM anywhere on the internet and 102.9 on the local Franklin area dial. And today we have our Franklin Health Director, Kathleen Liberty. Kathy, happy Tuesday.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to be together to discuss health, especially with the kind of the positive roll we're on. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed it stays that way. Everybody's behaving. And your world is continuing to be kind of topsy-turvy because we've gone through all kind of the changes. Now the changes are starting to get rescinded. So there is more than the light at the end of the tunnel. We're almost there.
There is. And it was last Monday morning, we got word from DPH that they wanted a call before the governor's briefing at 11 a.m. Right. So at 10:30, all 351 of us are on the call probably. And the assistant commissioner, she started to tell us about that all the orders will be rescinded, like all of the orders. There will be no sector specific, nothing that we've come to know as, you know, just normal, right? Mm-hmm. So I would, and it's not about me, but I was thinking so many things. I was thinking, am I going to cry? Am I elated? What does this mean? How could this be? Right. So, because you know what, you know, I've been on an emotional roller coaster. We all have, exactly. Professionally and personally, right?
Personally,
what does this look like? So, then I listened a little bit to the briefing, but I was definitely, it was mind blowing for me, because like I said, we did the training, this was our norm.
Yeah.
And so to think that that's going away on May 29th, it's just, it's like Christmas. It's a good thing.
It's Christmas with the catch, because realistically and seriously, I mean, the pandemic is not over. The virus is still here.
Correct.
Clearly, because we've behaved with the masks, the cleaning, the protocols, etc., and the vaccines, with the availability and people, you know, especially in Massachusetts, getting vaccinated, you know, the risk is being reduced. So yes, let's get to that new normal. Let's define what that new normal is, what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
But while we're changing again, we're not done yet.
Yeah. And, you know, so the governor met the goal, right? So anticipated that 75% of the population in the Commonwealth will be vaccinated. And so he could rescind the orders way prior than August 1st. And so that says a lot about the citizens of the Commonwealth and, you know, that we're all trying to do what's right. And like you said, you know, we all followed, well, almost everybody followed the mask mandate. I don't think I'll ever stop washing my hands as soon as I'm done with one task or into my house or, you know, because it's become such a norm. I've just probably got off topic a little bit, but, you know, so I think when you think about his goal being reached, I think that it's okay and it's good. And I'm so proud of everyone in the Commonwealth that did what they were supposed to do. Hmm. You know, I know we still have a lot of people, and I'm finding it's the 30, in between 30 and 40 that are really still questioning the vaccine and, you know, wants to kind of wait it out and see what happens. You know, of course, we took a step back with Johnson & Johnson. But then, you know, of course, that's being used again. You know, so I think there's been a lot. And even myself, you and I have talked about, I had a lot of angst in the beginning about getting the vaccine. You know, I am fully vaccinated now, but, you know, so there's a lot of thought that goes into doing this. And I think that for the governor to meet his goal of 75% is just amazing ahead of time. So,
yeah, and I think the continued availability, certainly the restrictions and availability questions, the registration process, all that's behind us. It's much more available.
Right.
At some point, the CDC and FDA will actually remove the emergency tag on the virus too, right?
Yeah.
And make it fully certified, fully available. It's continuing. I'm seeing the headlines along the way about certainly expansion into the teens and then to the younger teens and eventually into the children. So there's still work to be done in that space. Science is still working diligently to make sure it is safe. And to a certain extent, I understand some of the people's hesitancy around the emergency piece, but I mean, as we've talked before, vaccines are here. We have the annual flu update. There may very well be an annual now COVID update. And exactly what's going to happen in terms of even like the school vaccine requirements, et cetera. I mean, those are new things that are still going to come down the road. We don't know what those are yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you know, 12 to 15 year olds can get the vaccine now, which is great. Right. So, you know, and the state has really evolved from DPH, I should say, has really evolved from the debacle with the, you know, trying to get appointments. They've really evolved. Now they even have, you know, homebound unit that can vaccinate homebound people. They have a mobile unit that will go to schools, employers, if there's 35 or more people. They're willing to actually block off appointments at a vaccine site, mass vaccine site, for employers who want to send their people and not have a mobile unit. So it's really evolved from chaos and consuming our lives trying to get an appointment, and people staying up after midnight because at, you know, 1 o'clock you can get in and make an appointment for Gillette. And so it's a calming, you know, calming, evolving process that, you know, I'm happy we're still seeing progress with all of this. So, and you're right, it's going to keep rolling out and keep rolling out.
Yeah. And I think the big factor, at least from my point, and it's somewhat of an old term, but the FUD factor, the huge fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The virus is here. The vaccines are available. So we can take that preventative measure, which will help us go forward, because there should be less risk. Now, will masks go away completely? To a certain extent, probably not, because we've seen internationally, Chinese, Hong Kong, and other Asian countries use masks on a regular basis for, in some cases, seasonal, in some cases, just part of their personal habits, because they've been exposed in a variety of earlier SARS-type events. And now it's acceptable. Unfortunately, it's so politicized here still. It's not health-based where it really needs to be, but hopefully we'll get to that point and get away from some of the anti-vax and political aspirations around it.
I hope so. I mean, it's clear. I don't have the numbers, but I've been told that the flu cases are down, you know, extremely down, low, and they usually... the height of the flu is usually in March.
Right. Surprise, surprise. We've all been protected. We've been doing what we need to do to be clean.
Right. And you and I talk about it all the time. It's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, the simple steps, right? You know, and I find myself, you know, I'm still socially distanced. I'm fully vaccinated. My mom's fully vaccinated. And she said the other day, don't sit way over there. Sit at the table. You were outside. Like, yeah, no, not yet. Sorry. only to protect her, right? I'm not worried about me.
That's the key piece. It's not a freedom thing. It's not a privacy thing. It's a health thing.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I remember the first time, Jamie, the town administrator, asked me to speak with the department heads on, and it was on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And what little I knew, right? What I did know is that, you know, our respiratory droplets enter your mouth, right? So, and I said, I know that sounds so gross. And later on, Jamie said to me, yeah, it's gross, but it's necessary that you say it like that. And so, you know, will I get that out of my head? Not so sure.
Once you get that image, it's not something you go away with, right? I think we talked early on too, especially here in New England, once you're outside on one of those freezing cold days, mm-hmm. and you just breathe, you see your air, right? Because it's frozen right there. There all the time. We just see it in winter. We don't necessarily see it in the warmer weather, but it's there.
It's there. And, you know, like this mindset will stay with us, some of us, for a very long time before we're comfortable, you know, hugging and kissing and all of that, you know, with family members. But I did give my mom a hug goodbye. So that was important.
Yes.
But it's my mom, you know. So I think, so definitely, you know, the health department is certainly happy. I am certainly happy with these guidelines going away. And it takes a lot off my plate as a health director. So,
well, now you can get into the other pieces of your regular business, which, as we've talked, we started this a year plus ago. Yep. In regards to health, should be, you know, mm-hmm. kind of behind the scenes if everything happens properly.
Right.
The pandemic obviously showed things weren't happening properly. So we brought you to the front end. You came to the front end anyway, because that you were on the front line. But there's still other things while the pandemic is kind of ebbing and going away. Oh, by the way, we're outside. Mosquitoes, ticks, they're still around. We still have to be careful for those.
Yep, we certainly do. And, you know, we've talked about this many times on our podcast, and you know, people still have to be careful and fearful. You know, and you said earlier before we started that, yeah, there's a lot of ticks around. And actually, I have heard that, especially people who walk the trails, mm-hmm. You know, really make sure that they check for ticks when they come home and take their clothes off, you know, take a shower, check for ticks. Because we don't want to, you know, there's, you know, viruses and diseases that accompany a tick bite. So we don't want to go there. And of course, you know, I actually just posted this on, well, Anne-Marie posted this on social media. I got fact sheets on DEET and other organic type
repellents.
Yeah, repellents. Thank you. I always forget that word. So that's on my website. That's been out on social media. We also talk about spraying and what goes into spraying for mosquitoes. And so there's definitely educational resources at the health department website. So you know, if anyone's really interested, there's a lot of facts and a lot of information. So mm-hmm.
And for those listening, you don't have to scramble for a pen and paper or whatever to write. Right. We'll include those links in the show notes as well. So you can go to the Franklin Matters page that accompanies this or the podcast page that accompanies this and follow the links. Yeah. Or go directly to franklinma.gov and find health department, because you're readily available there.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot about mosquitoes. I even post when they're going to be spraying, aerial spraying and the truck spraying. So,
which, to refresh, the Norfolk County does that aerial spraying. And I believe there's also a request process. So if you have a particular property that's not near the major wetlands, but has some water, you can arrange for that as well.
Yeah, it's a wonderful organization. Definitely, they will take requests.
And one of the other topics that we had, I think, talked about it 2 podcasts ago, but we're not counting because it may or may not be accurate, was CDC had done a pre-alert, and they actually have now listed the alert as an official one, around the salmonella exposure potential with, you know, household chickens.
Yeah. So about a year ago, you know, I posted on the health department website, healthy families, healthy flocks. And, you know, I had seen not so much in Massachusetts, but the CDC had data on a rise in salmonella poisoning, and in humans, obviously, but it was stemming from their home, you know, the chickens at home. And, you know, what happens is chickens, you know, are treated as pets, right? So they're cuddled, they're kissed. You know, there's also, you know, getting the eggs, you know, so we have to keep in mind that, you know, chickens are poultry, and when they defecate, they, you know, there is the salmonella virus, bacteria, I should say, that's in that, you know, in that source. And so they step in it, you know, it could be on, potentially be on their fur or that little, whatever little dander they have. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, they lay their eggs and step on the eggs. And so there's this whole contamination piece that we have to look at, because it truly is invisible. But if you pick up a bird and you do not wash your hands, or you do not wash that egg before you, you know, you crack it and cook mm-hmm. the inside, you know,
right.
There's a potential for salmonella, and it's not fun to have. It's no. It's really, it can be serious, and it does make you very sick. So I think that's important. The more people I see getting chickens as pets, and also for, you know, eggs, you know, they really need to be aware.
Like, we've hopefully been learning that, you know, practical healthcare tips, mm-hmm. you know, washing hands, distancing where necessary, but being mindful of who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with matters.
And actually, I think I got that backwards. I think the article is healthy flocks, healthy families.
Okay.
One or the other. I'm not sure.
One or the other. Well, we'll have the link in the show notes. So whichever way it is, the link will be there.
Yeah, that's good. And then some other, you know, you said getting back to kind of business as usual, it's a wonderful feeling. It's so freeing. And so we've talked before about the prescription pantry.
Yes.
Program. So the prescription pantry is a program that one of my interns worked on. And this really comes at a critical time where a lot of people through the pandemic have chronic disease. And, you know, we all know that it was difficult to get to grocery stores, or we don't want to, or, you know, whatever the reason is, we may have just kind of, you know, zoned out of healthy, nutritious foods for whatever reason, right? Even if you had to go to a pantry for your food. So what we wanted to do is just, you know, get people to understand that, you know, chronic disease and healthy eating, right? So they have to pair together in order for the chronic disease to get better. So how we did that was we actually made up some prescription pads, like a doctor that says prescription pantry. And I partnered with the senior center with the nurse there. And mm-hmm. so while she's doing the blood pressure clinics or the, you know,
the health checks. Yep.
Yeah, the health checks. And has a conversation with the person, you know, how are your eating habits? And what it, you know, how can we help? And so basically she would write, you know, whatever she feels that they need to, you know, include more nutritious foods and what kind, you know, so no, you need more, you know, broccoli, or you need more cauliflower. And this is what they provide, you know, as far as nutrients go. And so it's all written down on the prescription pad. And then we also I spoke to the woman, Lauren, who is going to be managing the farmer's market. Yep. Just to let the produce vendors know that we may have someone that shows up with, you know, identifying these foods, you know, and helping them obtain them, right? So it's kind of a fun rolling program, and the purpose basically is to, you know, start eating better. And then we also have a website. We have a QR code on the back of the pamphlet that leads to a website that has resources. It has recipes. It's got just a boatload of information. So it's just a nice little program just to try and help people eat nutritiously. So mm-hmm. that started last week. So that's
good timing with the farmers market opening June 4th.
Yeah.
And then going every Friday I think without exception this year, because the 4th of July, I believe, will be still minimized based upon their planning and the release of the COVID protocols. They don't have enough time to plan for their full celebration like they wanted to. So it should go every Friday through October, if I recall. So that'll be available and be another option for folks.
Yeah, it will be. And of course, you know what? And even if they go to a regular grocery store, you know, a visual is always good because, mm-hmm. you know,
it's a reminder.
Yep. Someone may tell you, oh, you know what? You really need to eat more spinach or, yeah. And okay. So, you know, I forget to put it on my grocery list. So it's always a good reminder. You can keep it in your purse and, you know, just start to introduce those foods on a mm-hmm. regular basis. So, yeah. Definitely. So I hope it goes well. And I'll get a little feedback from the nurse at the senior center to see how it's going.
Yeah, because the senior center, amongst other places, senior center is gradually reopening. Mm-hmm. I've participated a couple of our writer group sessions on Wednesdays there, and that was interesting. It was a little weird, still feeling, you know, taking the temp, getting the mask, et cetera. Yes. But actually being in the room with the people, there were some folks that actually last week participated who had never participated on one of the Zoom sessions because they just weren't technically able to do that. So to have them in the room, that's goodness.
That is goodness. Yeah. No more isolation.
Right. And we still had people remote, including the week before, one of the people was visiting family members in Denver, Colorado. So she dialed in while she was away.
Isn't that wonderful?
There's nothing wrong with that. Right? You can be anywhere and you can still connect and have, you know, a conversation.
Anywhere. So, and that's important. Not definitely. Like you said, not everyone has a computer or has that ability, but it is a wonderful thing if you have it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. And then the other thing I am so excited about. So, you know, for over a year, I think grilled you on podcasts and then we started doing this. So I started getting to know this and
I've been a little experience on what it sounds like to hear your voice because some people are, well, what does my voice sound like?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the way my voice sounds, but that's okay. When I look back,
it is what it is. And as long as you're confident, at least in my experience, you know what you're talking about. So you can talk, just talk,
which I have done. And you know, you and I have been having conversations for well over a year now. So it's a comfort level, which is great. I've also been doing a lot of research and research on interview questions. And you and I talked, I said, you know what? I want to have a podcast for the health department, right? So gone are the day, I mean, resources are great and I'm glad like we can put those out, but kind of gone are the days where, you know, it's just all, you know, like in your hand resource and mm-hmm. reading, right. You know, newsletters or things like that. And I have learned so much from this podcast and, you know, other podcasts I've been listening to. And I said, what a great way to get information out there. And it's not just on me, it's on the people who are, you know, excellent at the subject matter, right? So that I'll be interviewing. I've named it The Topic. So I thought that was pretty good. And I ran that by a few of my interns and they liked the idea. Because it's gonna be about public health issues, but it could roll into other topics as well, right? So I didn't want to just narrow it down to public health.
Well, we've talked before, where do you draw the line where health gets involved or stuff?
Well, true, right? Health is everywhere. You're right. Yeah, you're right. So I'm so excited. So next Tuesday, June 1st, I'll be interviewing Tina Powderly. She's the executive director of the Franklin Food Pantry. Mm-hmm. And our topic is going to be food insecurity. Plus we'll be talking about the Franklin Food Pantry as well and the impact they're making on the community. And of course, with your help, this is possible. So I'm very excited about it. And, you know, I've told you before, I teach at Worcester State and I teach a creative arts and health course. And we talk about topics that are uncomfortable. And I wanted to bring that to the podcast as well. Food insecurity isn't that uncomfortable if you're not in it, okay, right? So, right. But I think people need to have awareness that it's real. and it's happening to a lot of people, the percentage has gone up through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, you know, even in my class, when I talk about intimate partner violence, which is, we've also seen an increase through the pandemic, you know, we talk about homelessness and how awkward we feel and uncomfortable we feel when we drive up to a light and there's a person holding a sign, you know, writing, "Help me, I'm homeless," or "Help me, I'm a vet," or, you know, and how do we get rid of that feeling of awkwardness and talking about these topics that you don't talk about at the dinner table, you know? And so it was a wonderful thing at class. I always say, I want to give something to someone when they're there. I don't want to give money per se, but maybe a granola bar. And one of my class, one of my students said, you know, people who are homeless, they really need socks. It's a real thing. And I said, yes. Oh, socks. Yep. Interesting. Yep. So what I did was, so my students, they all wrote a message to a homeless person. That was part of their assignment. So I bought brown sandwich bags, brown bags. And I wrote every single one of their message on individual bags. And then I stuffed them with a pair of socks and a granola bar and just, you know, wrapped it up. And they're in my car, you know, so
ready to give out as you come.
Yeah, ready to give it out.
Cool.
I wanted to kind of give that message to them too. And yesterday I interviewed one of my students from the semester. She wants to be an intern, and she told me that was the most eye-opening conversation that she's had about homelessness, and was really, really thinks that, you know, once you open up that door, you really can't close it. It's real. It may not be real in Franklin, but it's real in other places. And so I want to kind of mirror what I do in class with the podcasts.
So we're glad to help.
Yeah.
Homelessness in particular, there's one of my social connections. I had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times at a conference. He tweets frequently at invisible people, which is a good way to say it, because the homeless in many cases are invisible. You really don't see them, particularly in Franklin. Because some of those services are not here. Mm-hmm. If somebody in Franklin becomes homeless, they go to Worcester, Boston, some other location to get those services.
Right.
But homelessness is an issue. And it's one of a series, and we don't have to solve it here. But that's at least creating the awareness, getting some of that stigma changed so you can have the conversation.
Right. Yeah. And just open up those doors and let people know that these are real subject matters that you're right, we can't solve, but we can educate and, you know, help. And it's real. Like I said, it's not something we're going to talk about at the dinner table. So here I will talk about it on my podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yes. And maybe eventually we'll get to have that dinner table conversation, because it's in a place like that, particularly if the table is multi-generational, mm-hmm. that'll be a great place to have that conversation, respectfully, of course. But yeah, that's, we need to have those tough conversations because the world is around us and we're part of it, and hopefully a healthy part of it.
And due to the pandemic, you know, we're seeing a rise in so many different areas. Like, you know, we've talked about amputees, we've talked about chronic disease, we've talked about, you know, homelessness and domestic violence and child neglect and all of these things that
mental health.
Mental health. Oh yeah. So mental health. Another thing I'm working on, if that's a good transition. So I have an intern. We've discussed a particular model for vets that we're going to mirror. It's called Guitars for Vets. And it's an
for vets, meaning veterans.
Veterans, yes.
As opposed to pet vets.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thanks for clarifying that. And so this model has been in effect for, I think, since 1997. So the guys behind it is that veterans who are experiencing trauma, mental health issues, you know, post-traumatic syndrome, that, you know, they have guitar lessons, so many lessons, and they have found, they being the veteran, that it's extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved the idea so much. That it's something we're working on. It's not written in stone, kind of like my prescription pantry. I'll kind of put a little buzz out there about it, mm-hmm. you know, as we move forward. So we're fleshing that out and working on an outline, and hopefully we get that going in the next couple of months.
Oh, good. Sounds good. Because yeah, music is magic.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not very good at it.
I appreciate it very well, put it that way.
I appreciate it, not good at it though. You know, so I guess you probably see a different side of me today. You know, it's outside of COVID, I feel like, yeah, this is what I used to do, and I am thrilled to be doing it again.
Oh good. I'm looking forward to additional discussions as we continue to go forward. So
absolutely.
I know you've got other things on your plate there. So thank you for taking your time today to talk about health here in Franklin. And, you know, we'll have the continued conversation. Folks listening, stay tuned. Kathleen has more coming. And certainly next month, at least, we'll get to talk Franklin Matters on health. But then there's this new podcast coming, so stay tuned. There's more coming.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.